nestled in the forested alpine mountains and accessible only by boat and winding switchbacks, the community of Holden Village lives, works, and plays in the remote wilderness. Converted from an abandoned mining town to a spiritual renewal, communion with the outdoors, and justice-centered education.
Over the past year, the village has remained closed to guests due to the COVID-19 pandemic, operating on a skeleton crew of around 40 people.
Throughout the pandemic, Holden aligned itself with federal and state health guidelines to promote the safety and wellness of all villagers. We kept ourselves and each other safe by practicing strict quarantine procedures for all new arrivals, including social distancing, mask wearing, and COVID testing for all staff.
That's
We celebrated every negative test and zero COVID cases.
Without guests, the paths were still stopped and the fires still stoked, reminding us day after day, it truly takes a village.
In hope of reopening, the village has been hard at work in nourishment of each other in the place we call home.
Caring for our historic buildings and fire safety equipment.
Returning nutrients back into the earth with our food scraps.
Reaching new heights in communications and radio signal repair.
Tracing cables and labeling network jacks.
Practicing fire drills and first response time.
Making light work with many hands.
We renewed our environment with fresh paint in dozens of rooms, including the kitchen, which we completely disassembled. Scrubbing and repainting every inch from floor to ceiling.
We return to our roots in creativity.
In weaving.
In writing.
In knitting.
In crafting.
In stories.
In spinning wool.
In embroidery and careful cutting.
In throwing and molding and opening. Finding peace in simple details. Coming together to fill the kiln with creation after creation.
We return to our roots in community, in celebration and in silliness.
In quality time, spent soaked in sunshine.
In mental math and friendly competition.
In sacred spaces, sang and song together.
In letting go and jumping in.
Until finally, vaccination.
And as those who kept us together during the pandemic move on to their next adventures, we remember each and every individual who lived through these times of uncertainty and doubt together, while holding each other in community.
Thank you.
So, I thought that was a fantastic video showing what Holden was like during the pandemic. And now I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about what Holden was like throughout the world and the communications that we had with all of you and thousands of others. So, first, a little bit about the history of development work at Holden. So, in the past, there were certain development fundraising work and talking about supporting of the village through contract, and we had an amazing person, Ann Gintz, who was with us for 8 years in a part-time capacity, doing Herculean efforts on 20 hours a week, which was pretty amazing. For those of you, and I'm hoping everybody has seen that It Takes a Village bulletin board that's in the dining hall, but there is a pie chart there that Callie created to talk about that shows what it takes for our revenue streams for operating. And guest registrations, those room fees, count for 58%, and that includes for the B&B. So we have a lot to make up, which is great, but we have a lot to make up there. And so 28 to 30% is coming from donations, gifts, grants, contributions of that kind. So fast forward a bit from the history. I came on as the first full-time director of development and outreach in February of 2020. February of 2020. So that was a fun experience to, you know, get acquainted. I've been coming to Holden since 2007, but still nothing prepares you for having to do this kind of work in a pandemic a month after you start. So what I will say, so here are the things that came to be in those first months, and then over the course of what we discovered was a year and a half, right, of this time, is that of things that probably we all know, but people love Holden. And there were so many calls and emails and reaching out and concern of how is Holden doing? Is it gonna be okay? How can I help? So it was just a wonderful, what I've been calling a wonderful love story to be a part of. And forming, you know, some of the, when I tell people what I do and that I do fundraising, they're like, oh, I can never ask for money. But the beauty of it is that it's really about forming relationships and having conversations. And so I got to be a part of hearing all of those wonderful stories that people have about Holden and what makes it special to you. And then hopefully spread that out to others and to share those stories. And we continually look at ways to share everyone's story about why Holden is important. You know, family reunions, finding a sense of self, learning a new skill, all of those things are so important. This mouse is not my friend right now. Okay, then, so I just mentioned there how the pandemic impacted Friends of Holden. So to get into some brass tacks of it, so Holden in previous years was typically raising between $400,000 and $500,000 a year to help with that, the operating expenses, so beyond the guest fees. When I came on, there was a new goal of $735,000. So that's kind of a big jump, and that was in February before we knew that the world was going to shut down, right? So a little nervous about that, and how is that going to happen? That's a 59% increase from previous actuals. But like I said, what a love story, because Holden came through. We did a lot of firsts here. So we did our first ever online auction. I know the Jubilee auction had been going on and off here in the village in certain weeks. We took that online and it was an amazing success. We did a wish list online wish list that people were really excited about, because one of the questions I would get a lot is, what do you need? How can we help? What are the things? Like, can I, so kitchen and hike house and program all put together, here are some of the needs that we have. We got a great food processor, we got a new toast conveyor, right? So to replace Charla, unfortunately, that did not make it through the pandemic, so we're glad that there's a new toaster. And here's the big thing. We actually not only met this really amazing goal of a 59% increase, but we raised $875,000. You all raised $875,000. So incredible. More than we could have hoped or asked for. And what that meant too, so with any organization, when COVID hit, we had to revise our projections, right? So there was a lot of belt tightening. We had a hiring freeze. All sorts of, we did PPP loans a couple times and got both of those. So we're doing a lot of things in order to help make sure that this place is here for you. With that, we still were projecting that it would be a $1.6 million loss, which is, that's pretty heavy. But with the things like I just mentioned and with the fundraising, it actually was only a loss of $500,000, which is still chunky, but way better than $1.6 million. So that was fiscal year 2020. So we go by November 1st through October 31st is our fiscal year. So that was the 2020. And then this is going to talk a little bit about beyond. So just for everyone's awareness, we Holden is not in debt, or we're not financing anything, which is another great place to be. A lot of nonprofits can't say that. So that's a positive on our side here. No guests for over a year still takes its toll, right? So we're estimating a dip into reserves of $300,000 to $500,000 to cover operating expenses this fiscal year. And I will say, when I use the term reserves, this is again a Holden love story, because it's due to donors over the last 60 years that have endowed money or given, you know, been part of board designated funds, that we even have something that we can pull from if we're not able to make the ends meet. So it's just an incredible, it's just incredible to think about all the people that make this place sustainable. And with that, it's not only just the funds, it's, and I'll talk about this a little bit as well, but volunteers. You know, when in the development world, you talk about time, talent, and treasure, and here at Holden, I would add testimony to that as well. But this is one of the few places that I've ever worked that you absolutely need all four to survive. So the gift of time, which is not something that can be replaced, once you give it, it's gone forever. It's been an incredible story as well. The board, in looking and beyond, is looking to hopefully approve a capital plan or facilities plan for over the next 3 to 5 years. So we know, okay, we're getting through this. What are the things that we need to do that were perhaps deferred maintenance for a while or need some upgrades, in some cases brand new, like the museum? So know that we are thinking ahead, we're planning ahead, and we're working. The board has charged us to work through that and work with them on that future piece as well. And when we have that approval, we'll know what we're going to accomplish, what funds that we have, where the shortfalls are, and if there are any additional needs that we could be applying for grants, looking for support. Partnerships is another big piece that we're looking at too, of how we better partner with other organizations too. So how can you help? The first big thing is to continue to share with others about this special place. This goes with staffing. So it's tough. It's interesting. So in my love story with Holden since 2007, there was the remediation, and there was the fire, and there was the pandemic. So all of those times when there's been a hiccup in the regular operations, it's been really tough. We don't really understand why. That would be an interesting psychology conversation to have, but it's been really tough to get back into the fold and the rhythms of a nice pipeline of staff and volunteers to come in. And that is still the same case here. We're better than we were even like 2 weeks ago or a month ago when we were really biting our nails, like, how are we gonna pull this off? But Holden always comes through and we're able to figure it out and people come out of the woodwork. This isn't a time when we're asking you, if you know of anyone that would love to come up and experience Holden in the special place that you know it is, for these particular positions. So our youth program is about probably at half capacity for staff, so we're having to pull from other areas in order to make Narnia happen right now. We don't have an accountant. Our business manager has lots of things that she's overseeing, and she's also doing accounting work, and we're contracting. We'd rather not have to, kind of piecemeal that together as well. The operations and trades position, so that's electrician, plumber, carpenter. Long-term head cooks in our programming department. As you know, with Holden, right, we have certain terms. And so really the fall is a big turnover time for us. So the term ends for our program manager and we need a program lead. And then additionally for our human resources term, both of our staffing coordinators are terming out in September, October time. So that's a big push for that as well as an HR manager. So some leadership positions as well. The other way that you can help is in sharing with others about this special place, guests. So this is a full week, which is fantastic. If we could have a full week in 7 and 8, that would be great too. I know it's a challenge with school starting in August in some places, but we do still have some space, which was another interesting thing. And I think that also comes when there's like a little hiccup in our timing. Usually, I mean, I remember many years where guest registration opened at midnight on January 1st. And I had like 5 families of friends, and we would do the family reunion thing. We were all like texting, calling, and who's going to be on the line and make sure we get in that, because we were July 4th week, which was always nuts. But anyway, all of this to say, we would love more guests. We would love to serve more people. The other piece is Come to It Takes a Village Part 2. So this was talking about pandemic, how we managed through that. Part 2 is going to be an interactive tour where we're going to talk about future projects and what we have going on and getting your feedback on some pretty exciting things. So hopefully you can join us on Thursday at 6 and we're going to meet at the ARC for that. And then be a part of our community of practice and live into Holden's mission, vision, and core values. And at this time, I'd like to call up our board member, board president, Josh Post, to talk a little bit about the board roles and then the recent work that was done on mission, vision, and values.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks, Jennifer. We as the board are certainly appreciative of all the work that Jennifer and the executive directors have done to get us through this challenging time. One of the things that the board has, what does the Holden board do? Well, we really are a policy board. So we set the policy. So that means the mission, vision, core values. We hire the executive directors and then we serve as the fiduciaries and we oversee and make sure that the finances are all in a good spot. So I think in January of 2006, the last time the Holden board rewrote and approved the new mission, vision, and core values. So it was time to really revisit it. We had revisited it several times. Back in 2011, we revisited and reaffirmed the mission, vision, core values. Again in 2015, and briefly in 2018, we looked at it. But we knew at that point that, or actually beginning of 2019, but we knew at that point that we were moving toward a time soon where we were going to need to really do an in-depth look at the mission, vision, and core values. And typically how we do that has been our practice over the last several directorships is to do that at the beginning of a directorship so that those new directors are empowered with a new and fresh mission, vision, and core values. So we embarked on the process back in a year ago and really took the time. We had a committee of board members, and Stacy Kitahata was also a part of that group that worked on that new mission, vision, and core values. So a lot of time and thought and prayer, and we revisited it several times. The committee came and did workshops with the full board to kind of get us through that whole process. Now, Asa was supposed to, I was going to be handing it off at this point to Asa to talk about that process, but he's doing dish team, so I'm guessing that the dish team is running late. But that's kind of how we came about that, and we just approved that new vision, mission, and core values back a few weeks ago at the summer board meeting via Zoom. So,
do you want to just maybe move ahead? Are you good to?
Sure, let's move ahead. So the new vision statement is Holden Village cultivates a more just, sustainable, and compassionate world. Okay. So the mission, growing from the love of Christ, Holden Village is a courageous community that welcomes all people into the wilderness to form and renew their relationships with God, the earth, and each other. And then for values, if many of you remember before, we had just kind of a list of values. We had 14 values, but we decided to put that in as more of a statement of our values rather than just 14 words. So, values. Holden Village is a gift and an invitation to build and practice community, both within the village and in the greater world. We value our place in the wilderness that nurtures spiritual, emotional, and physical growth. Our Lutheran roots, which strengthen us to face the world with faith and good courage. Community building through hospitality, dialogue, justice, liturgy, humor, solace, and wholeness. Our rhythms of village life. We commit to be a community in which daily life is meaningful, a community that embraces the intellectual, spiritual, and emotional aspects of faith, a community where questions are valued and encouraged, a community that lives out its mission with joy, participating in the gracious love of God. So those are our new vision, mission, and values statement. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
So, we're on to the Q&A part of the program. This is pretty good. It's 6:30. So what questions do you have of us? We have two executive directors here. You have the board president, development, communications. This is a packed house. Feel free to ask whatever you want. Yes.
Just a kind of a practical, in the next few weeks, you have the cohorts. What's the registration percentage for the rest of the weeks for the summer, roughly?
I think we're at about 76%.
Overall?
Yeah, so okay. We have 4 weeks that are relatively full at this point, and then the remainder that still have space available. Yeah, so. Yeah, especially week 8, particularly week 5 also, have a lot of space available.
I know somebody who's coming up who's just going to register. She just wrote it. She put on Facebook, "Hey, I'm thinking about going to Holden. Anyone been there?" And
I just
said, "I'm there." So,
100%. Spread the word.
Yeah, we're spreading the word.
I think a lot of people think also because of their past experience with Holden, if I didn't make my decision really early,
yes,
then maybe I can't make my decision. And this year, people were all in a very different situation. They were like, "I don't know. When am I going to get my vaccine? Can my whole family come up?" You know, and so people are still enrolling each week, you know. So unlike previous years, this invitation is wide open and extends with the program through September as well. Not our cohort model, but we also have September. September programming happening over long weekends. So yeah, just to invite people to be in touch, to kind of look at the website, and to know that there's opportunity to participate.
And a second question, what's the amount of the permanent endowment that Holden has?
Of permanent endowment?
Yeah, is there a permanent endowment where you live off of the earnings or something like
not
that?
Not really live off the earnings, but there's about $500,000 in permanently endowed funds.
Okay.
There's other funds that are, a lot of them are allocated, like we have some money allocated to build a new museum building.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's kind of a separate, but it's not permanently endowed. And then there's a few other kind of funds, such as, Holden has received a lot of estate gifts over the years, and so usually that goes kind of into a board restricted fund, and then we use that as needed. So that kind of helped fill in the gap this past year. So that's a, those are kind of semi restricted funds, but the permanently endowed is about $500,000. I may be wrong on that number exactly, but it's around that in that ballpark.
And finally, what's the annual budget?
Here he is.
Hi.
This is kind of Holden light, right? Since we're doing the cohort model and at half capacity, but then there are also many things within the village that you have to do full board, not at all, right? So I think it's about 2.4 million, and it's been 2.8 before. I think that's about right, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah. The innovation of the cohort approach is so unprecedented here. it's own experiment and learning, and so at the end of the summer, I think we'll have a lot of things to ponder and think about where we want to go in the future. Yes.
Can you get an update on the museum building?
On Thursday, you can.
Oh,
we can't steal my thunder. Yeah, we got lots of stuff to talk about on Thursday. Yeah. I want to take a moment to make sure everybody sees Dr. Asa Lee over there, who is a board member and was on the committee for mission, vision, and values, and on like four other committees probably too, right? So.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Good evening. Yeah.
I probably didn't do a very good job with the process. So.
So. This was a very. Robust and inclusive process. It actually really leaned on the staff feedback as a launching place. So this is probably the first time, and Josh, you can tell me or not, but we really relied on input from the staff here to feed the process. So the process was taking a look first at where we've been before as a board and as a village. And then we met as a group every 2 weeks, beginning in November, I think, maybe October, November. And we met every other week via Zoom and started with a very gentle discerning process of what do we see as the core of Holden's identity now, and then how are we projecting that into the future. And so we then started sort of having wide-ranging discussions about our own perspective on Holden. There was a fairly good-sized group, between 8 and 10 of us on the board, working collaboratively. There was a lot of, at the same time, there were meetings in the staff going on that was also fueling the discussion as well. And then the spring meeting, I think, or was it the February? Yeah, February. We had a check-in or something at that point, right? And it was at that check-in that we had an opportunity to invite the entire board into a process in which we prompted them on some core identities around Holden's, the same process we went through. What does Holden mean to us? What do we see as the future growing edges? And we took that information in wide groups, so groups of four, and then we took that information and pared it down again and put in groups of two, or groups of eight, actually, that really honed in on some values from November until this past June. And so every other week we met, and we were really proud of both the process and the outcome. We think these, one of the big areas of, I won't call it attention, but creativity was both having a narrative approach, which kind of articulated the values, not as a list, but as sort of a part of a context. So each word or a word was in a phrase. At the same time, we wanted a clear, strong statement. And so we ended up with both, right? So we have a strong statement as a mission, a very succinct vision, and then some values that are put into a context that really help to understand why we are approaching the way we are. So we're proud of it. I think the executive directors appreciate the guidance and the direction that the board has been able to give, and really have started running with it. So we're excited about that. Is that a little more than what you did?
Any other questions? Yes.
Well, speaking of the outcome, I'm just curious, and I confess I don't remember verbatim the old vision and mission, although I do remember the 14 points, and they got folded in pretty well mm-hmm. into those four sentences. Mm-hmm. But how would you characterize, you know, what's changed in terms of Holden's mission and vision and values?
So one of the things that kept coming up for the committee was truth in advertising. That's kind of a business way to look at it. But our concern was there were values in that long list that we weren't really living into at all. We had so many things that we weren't really finding a truly holistic way of embodying, namely diversity, right? And so one of the ways we wanted to do that was to both reframe diversity, but also make it aspirational in some respect to recognize that it's an ongoing work. And so I would say that some of the values, like our Lutheran identity, is not named, as you probably noticed, in the mission or the vision, which is a change from the previous iteration. But yet it is a central value in that it is named as a part of one of the core values there. And so I think we are still struggling as a board, what does that look like, right? What does it mean to embody a Lutheran identity in a context that is welcoming everybody? So I think what we've done is stopped saying we're Lutheran and now saying we're determining altogether what does this look like, but we're operating from our Lutheran. So I think that's one example. Another, as I said, is diversity. And then I guess a third would be focusing on our story as a core, as opposed to a long checklist. Right? Do we have hilarity? Are we diverse? Are we right? No. Now it's sort of within the framework of what we want to be. How are we embodying all of these values? So I think, in some respects, we actually, at least I feel, we've actually begun to take ourselves a little less seriously as to this long checklist and kind of explore it a little bit and let off the gas. So, but that's also part of the process, right? Some of that energy came from the staff in terms of what name this? What does this mean? What does it look like? And since we couldn't, okay, let's reframe it.
I have a question.
Yes.
How did you come to the decision, or who came to the decision, of not saying Vespers is a requirement?
That is not me to answer.
Well, that has been a long and spirited discussion ever since we arrived, because when we arrived, the sheltering in place and the couldn't go inside buildings, there was just so much disruption that we had to take what little was being done then because of the pandemic, and then recraft, you know, a series of things in the evenings that we wanted to invite people to. And so very shortly, you know, after talking to people, and the staff specifically, you know, we said, well, we're gonna create spaces. And we did call it then something different, sacred space, which would embody not just traditional liturgical experiences or things that we were used to, but things that we could create together, you know, right then and there. And so this is another thing that you got a little taste of in the film that we just saw. And there's there were two composers, you know, in the village this last winter, and they were both doing original works, creating it for us to share with each other in real time. And so there were new services, and there were new ways in the evening to worship together. But we decided to take the mandate, you know, off the table and rather make it invitational and try to make it as rich as possible so that people would lean in with us as a worshiping community here at Holden Grove. There's a tension there, and we haven't resolved it yet, I can say, but at the same time, we were trying to reframe and reform ways we talk to each other about what Vespers is and how we're together in the evenings.
And I
want to
just kind of riff off the word that Mark used, form. When we came in, we did know that the mission, vision, and values were in process, and we knew our relationship to worship was going to be, and to community life, was going to be formed by that process. And so we were kind of also waiting to kind of see how our own call would be framed by that process. And what we did have was the strategic plan, which we were beholden to, which asked us to hold carefully the experiences of many different kinds of people from different faith traditions, people who had potentially left the church or were disaffected or had been traumatized by the church. And so we knew as part of our responsibility, we had to live into that. We had a mission, vision, and values that were in process, and we walked into a community that was deeply traumatized by pandemic. A community which had lost in many respects a lot of its agency around how it lived life and lived community. And our first instinct told us we have to return agency to this very small community that was very diverse in terms of its relationship to the church. Right? So, and that's something I think a lot of people don't understand, that, you know, people, even all of us here, even everybody in this room is different in terms of its relationship to the church. And I think a lot of people assume if you're coming up to Village, you know, you're a Cradle Lutheran, you know, this is your experience. And that we found coming into the village that we came into was not the case, and that we were being asked by the board, and I assume by the wider Holden community, to create the space of welcome where those conversations could invite people into this work of formation. Wherever you are, we want you to be in this formation process. It is very difficult to tell people in all earnestness that we want to meet you where you are, and we want you to be in formation in terms of your identity, you know, in creation and with the Creator, and say, by the way, your attendance at this Vespers, which will not change if you walk in the door, is mandatory. Right? That's kind of off a little bit. So, and the fact that, you know, the community was in the middle of a pandemic. So we asked the community, you know, the very first thing we did was the most Lutheran thing, I think, we did. And that was to say, the liturgy is the work of the people. That is the definition of liturgy. That is Lutheran. Lutheran is also the priesthood of all believers, right? We all participate in this, wherever we're coming from. So our day, every minute of it is sacred, and our voices, wherever we are sacred, and we all participate in this together. And we had, in my opinion, one of the richest spiritual and worshipful winters we could have had, because people said, wow, so it makes a difference where I'm at, you know, that I have something I can bring to worship, even though I haven't been to church for, you know, maybe for a while, or I don't know what I think. And that's what we were inviting. Now, our work with the new mission and vision and values, and alongside with the board, is to say, what now? Okay, we came through this year in this way? What do we do together? And we've talked to the board extensively about this and shared our experience around worship. And this is a conversation with us and the board. And your impressions of that, too, are really important to us as people returning to the village. And we've heard people say, well, I had to go when I was in high school, so I think everyone else should go. And I want to say, I'm really sorry. I don't want it to be miserable for the next generation too, but what I hope is that what we were trying to do was say, how do we take responsibility for making this space, this Esther space, a place where people feel they want to be, where they feel like they have something to contribute and belong to. And that was real. We weren't saying less. We said, we want more. We want way more than attendance, right? Way more. So that's what we were going for.
Well, and I think that's exactly the situation that local churches find themselves in, mm-hmm. as well. If they're really honest and they really look at themselves, because I'm part of the United Methodist Church, but we see our churches closing right and left. Mm-hmm. And you and I had a conversation about the church that you serve as the administrative board chair, and they closed. And it's extremely painful. And I think the local church, I don't think they necessarily know what to do about it. And for them to be able to look at Holden as a possible model of the way that you address that and the diversity that we are moving toward in our culture more and more, hopefully, and the same way addressing the disaffected folks that really, I was forced to go to church as a kid, and I'm not doing that to my kids. Right. That's what it's about, I know. And then how do you do that? And I applaud you for the conversation and the deep work that you did in this winter, because I think that's a gift.
Back to my question, I highly applaud what you've done. I think it's more welcoming rather than you have to be required to do this. I mean, all the years that I've been coming here, I knew it was a one requirement. Mm-hmm. And in a way, that was kind of nice because it brought the community all together. But the community lasts all day long, all week long. Mm-hmm.
It's our whole
Not
energy.
That one moment. Mm-hmm. But sacred space, love it. Love it.
Any other questions?
We are at 6:53. Anyone else?
And we want to thank Jennifer for everything that she's been doing for this place in the last couple of years.